It is because of Imam Mahdi's existence that God created us and any other creature in the world. If Imam Mahdi did not exist, neither the earth nor the universe was created. This point is mentioned in some hadiths. Imam Mahdi and his ancestors are the mediators of blessing between God and creatures. For the same reason, it is said in the prayer of Nutbah, "Where is that means who delivers blessings of heaven to inhabitants of earth?" Of course, ascribing an event to a mediator and a means is very common, and it is one of the aspects of the above mentioned rite. Another aspect of this rite is that everything created by God is because of Imam Mahdi and his chaste ancestors. In other words, they are the reasons of creating the universe. What are Imam Mahdi's rights over people? To find the answer, stay with Brilliant Star. Imam Mahdi's rights over people.
Here are some of Imam Mahdi's rights over us. The right of living in the world. We should remember that if Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, didn't exist, there wouldn't be life on earth, even for 1 hour. The reason for such a claim is a hadith cited by Sheikh Kolaini in the book Coffee. I asked Imam Reza, peace be upon him, would the earth exist without imams? He answered, no. I said, it is said that the earth will exist without imams if God is angry with people. Is that right? He said, no. The earth won't exist in such conditions because the order of the world would be violated. The right of being a relative of the Prophet, peace be upon him. It is said in the Quran, say, O Messenger, no wage I ask you for my mission, but all I expect is the affection to my near kin. Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, is cited to say that the word kin in this verse refers to imams. In a hadith regarding what Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, will say at the time of his advent, it is said, I swear to God and to the Prophet's right and my own right over you, I have a right over you because I am a relative of the Prophet. It is said in a hadith by the Prophet, give recompense to whoever does you a favor. If you cannot do it, pray for him, so that you can make sure that you have compensated for his favor. This right is manifold for Imam Mahdi because every benefit and blessing that people are endowed with is due to the existence of Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. In the Jama'a prayer, imams are described as the reason of blessings. The right of a leader and supervisor. It is said in Jama'a prayer, and the lords of supervisors. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said in a hadith, we, the descendants of Abdul Muttalib, are the lords of inhabitants of the paradise. I, Ali, Ja'far, Hassan, Hussein, and Mahdi. Imams' leadership and their superiority to us can be proved from what has already happened. By superiority of imams, we mean that they are more qualified than us in any affair, even those related to ourselves. God says in the Holy Quran, the messenger is closer to the believers than themselves. The book Kifayatul Asar cites Imam Hassan bin Ali as saying, The Prophet told Ali, I have priority in deciding about the affairs of the believers, even more than themselves. Then you have priority over them. Then Hassan has priority over them. Then Hussein has priority over them. Then Ali has priority over them. Then Muhammad has priority over them. Then Ja'far has priority over them. Then Musa has priority over them. Then Ali has priority over them. Then Muhammad has priority over them. And then Ali has priority over them. Then Hassan has priority over them. Then Hujjat bin Hassan has priority over them. These are benefactor imams. They are with God, and God is with them.
Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, was born at the night of Friday of the 16th of Shaban in the year 255. And at the year 260, after the demise of his father, received the imamat office. Shia believe that Imam Mahdi is alive from the year 255 until now, and more than 1,000 years that he is just now alive. One of the questions in this regard is that how this such a long life is possible. Human during the history several times tried to find the secret of long life. But just now, some people believe that there is no scientific proof and in physiology for proving that this such a long life is possible. But we believe that there are some proofs.
How can we justify Imam Mahdi's long life scientifically?
To answer to this question, we must pay attention that is it possible scientifically or not. If we give any proof that it is possible and no impossibility for living for a long time, it is our first step. So is it possible to live more than 100 years or 200 years or for a long life? Physiology's answer is yes, it is possible. If it was not possible, so scientists didn't follow to find any secret, any way for long life. They are just now trying to find the way. How is it possible? They are trying to answer to this question. So it means that they have supposed, they have a presupposition that it is possible scientifically. And second answer is that some things are not justifiable by science. We must search for other reasons. Other reasons we can find in philosophy, in theology, in history. So our second answer is that we can give proof for a long life of Imam Mahdi, not only by science, by adding some other proofs from philosophy, from theology, from history, from Quran, and from Hadith. So in all, by regarding all of these proofs, we are believing in Imam Mahdi's long life.
Do we have any proofs for his long life in Quran as well?
Several verses in Holy Quran accept that long life is possible. One of them is in Safat chapter about the Yunus, Prophet Yunus. According to these verses, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْهُودُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. The fish swallowed him up and he deserved all this. The fish swallowed him up and he was blaming himself. According to this holy verse, Yunus prophet, when the fish swallowed him, he stayed inside the fish for several years. But in other words, about this Yunus, in continuing this story, says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِسَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Had he not glorified God, he would certainly have remained inside the fish until the day of resurrection. It means that it was possible that Yunus stay inside the fish for a long time until the resurrection day. So it is one of the Quranic proofs for long life. But Holy God rescued Yunus, but the Holy God rescued Yunus and he did not continue his life inside the fish. Another verse is about the Noah. Prophet Noah stayed preaching for his tribe and for his people about 1,000 years. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِسَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. We sent Noah to his people and he lived with them for 950 years. According to this holy verse, Noah has a long life. So, in summary, long life is possible scientifically, and we have some samples about samples of long life in Quran about Yunus and about Prophet Nuh.
The four specific representatives: Abu Amr Osman bin Said Amri, from 260 AH until his death, which was probably in 267 AH. According to a widely accepted view, there were four specific representatives during the short absence who conveyed people's requests and questions to Imam Mahdi and delivered Imam's letters of commands to people. These representatives could meet Imam Mahdi directly. These representatives, in the order of performing their responsibility, include Osman bin Said Amri. The first representative of Imam Mahdi was Abu Amr Osman bin Said Amri. Sheikh Tusi wrote about Imam Mahdi's representatives in this way: these representatives are talked positively by imams. The first of them was a magnanimous man. Imam Hadi and Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon them, had approved of him. They said that he was Abu Amr Osman bin Said Amri. His name was Osman bin Said, his patronymic was Abu Amri, and he had some nicknames such as Al-Amri. He was one of the approved companions and students of the 10th and 11th Imams. He was a reliable nobleman who was at the service of Imam Hadi and learning religious teachings from him since the age of 11. He was a student of Imamate. Maybe one of the reasons why he was trained by two Imams before Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, was that nobody doubted his dignity and magnanimity, and people would accept his representation of Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him, easily. Among the most important characteristics of the first representative of Imam Mahdi are the following. He was the trustee of three Imams. He was present at the birth of Imam Mahdi. He accepted the responsibility of Imam Hasan Askari's funeral. On the order of Imam Hasan Askari, he met the needs of Imam Hasan's family after his death. He was chosen as the representative of Imam Mahdi, both by Imam Hasan and by Imam Mahdi himself. He had an important role in stigmatizing Ja'far Kazzab. After his death, Imam Mahdi wrote a condolence letter and commended him in it very much. A short time before his death, he appointed his son, Muhammad bin Osman, as the next specific representative of Imam Mahdi. Of course, Imam Hasan Askari has already said that Osman bin Said's son was a suitable person for being the next representative of Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him.
We remember the Imam after prayer or during the prayer, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his health sometimes, to hasten his return sometimes. And we keep his memory alive, inshallah, amongst ourselves. Amongst ourselves meaning that as an individual in our life, we try to remember the Imam. After the prayer, at other times, we try to remember the Imam. Is that enough for us to personally remember the Imam? In order to understand that, I need to go back in history a bit and talk about a little bit about what happened and why we don't have the luxury of having the presence of an Imam, the guide that Allah has sent for mankind, the go-between between Allah and humanity. We don't have this luxury. When we look at the ahadith about the philosophy and the reason behind the occultation, we get a few different wordings. One thing we get is there's a test. Another thing we get is that the Imam feared his life. I want to put these together very briefly and come to a conclusion and see what our responsibility is regarding the memory of the Imam. If we look at the lives of the previous Imams, all of the Imams became Shaheed, starting with the first Imam all the way until the Imam Al-Askari. All of them became Shaheed. What happened? Why did they become Shaheed? And if you look at the Imams towards the end of that time, the latest Imams, you see that their lives are much shorter than the previous Imams. Some of them lived for only 25 years of Imamat. Some of them lived only for 25 years in total. Why did that happen? Was the Imam at fault for that happening? Did the Imams not do their share? Did the Imams not do their responsibility? That's not the case. If the 12th Imam wouldn't have gone in the occultation, he would have been killed the same way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got 12 Imams for humanity. This 12th one is not going to be given to the people, because the people, that even the ones that are supposed to be following him are not ready for him. There's an interesting hadith from, I believe it is the 6th Imam or maybe the 5th Imam, Salamullah alayhima, that one individual came to the Imam and asked, why isn't the Imam making a move to take the tyranny away from the false government of the Umayyads, or the Abbasids, which were governments of oppression. They stole what was rightfully the Ahlul Bayt's. And this individual was believing in the Imams, apparently. So the Imam, it's a long story, I have to cut it short. The Imam tells him, look, if I had 17 companions, I would make a move. At that time, we had a number of Shias. The Imam says, I need 17 companions. The Imam didn't have 17 true companions. The reason why the Imam is in the occultation is not that the Imam is afraid of his life as a personal thing. All 11 Imams before him, and their mother, Hazrat Fatima, and the Holy Prophet, they all left this world, and everyone will be. Now the 12th Imam is, al-ayadu billah, God forbid, is afraid of his life. That can't be true. What it is that there's fear that the Imam is not going to be able to take care of his responsibility before he is killed, before he leaves this life as a martyr. That's the reason. Now, why is it that the Imam was not able to perform that? You should know, or we should know, that the movement of the Imam is not a movement of the sword. If Allah wanted to get everybody to follow the line of Amir al-Mu'mineen, He would have commanded Amir al-Mu'mineen, why wait for so many thousand years? Why wait for so many hundred years to do that, to have and set up a global government? Amir al-Mu'mineen could have done it if it was supposed to happen by the sword. He could have taken his Dhul-Fiqar and killed anyone that opposed him and set up his government and gone worldwide. But that's not the point. Allah has sent the Imams for guidance. The global government is going to be set up when the people are ready. If the people are ready for the Imam, then the Imam is going to return to us. Now, if we only prepare ourselves, if we only prepare ourselves and we remember the Imam personally, is that going to be causing the Imam to come? That's important. No one's saying it's not. But is it enough? That's the question. If you and I really want to make sure that the Imam hastens his return, we need to start pulling together our communities to prepare for the coming of the Imam. And the way to do that, the beginning steps to do that, the little steps that we can take to do that, is at least to cause our communities to remember the Imam and awaiting the Imam. When we are doing the du'as, make sure we do them right. Make sure we do them in our communities. After prayer, don't let the salat finish without any du'a al-faraj. Do the du'a. If you can have du'a nutbah, even small sessions, go ahead and do it. If you're having du'a kumail, don't just do the du'a and finish it. Remember the Imam. Remember it in your own words, in your own language. Make the people remember the Imam, have an emotional attachment to the Imam by saying those types of words and those types of statements. Speak to the Imam through the mic and make everybody feel that. We keep that memory of the Imam alive in our communities, then we can have more of a hope to be part of the cause that has prepared the coming of our Imam. We ask Allah to enable us to do that, and we ask Him to hasten the return of our Imam and to enable us to be of His close companions, inshallah.
Mahdi's approach is on the basis of kindness, not revenge. Kindness to the throne of rice. His honor the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, also depicts this scene in this way. People, like the wasps, which seek refuge with their king, take refuge with Imam Mahdi, peace be upon him. And as the earth has been full of oppression and cruelty, he will fill it with justice to the extent that people become the same as before. He won't waken the slept and won't shed any blood. We should consider the very rush of people toward his honor and his opening of arms for people, the reason of the vastness of the kindness of his dear being, and taking it as the representative, the event whose match was seen from the Honorable Prophet on the day of conquering Grand Mecca, who hailed on behalf of that Imam. Today is the day of remission and forgiveness. Mufazzal is one of Imam Sadiq's noble companions, and he is interpreted as the door of Imam Sadiq. Mufazzal quotes a beautiful hadith from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, which itself is the source for much of the researcher's information about the rise of Imam Mahdi. We will mention some parts of it appropriate to the subject matter. When Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, mentions the Imam's rise by the Kaaba and the gathering of the noble companions of His Majesty in a second from all around the world, and that Imam, in the morning of that day, will proclaim the rise and the universal movement, and then he reminds the perishing of the mean army and their sinking in the desert of Medina. At this point, Mufazzal asks, so what's that Imam going to do with the people of Mecca? Imam Sadiq replies, he will invite them in a wise voice, and he will advise them by the most beautiful and the sweetest words. Then they will submit to his obedience, and Imam, peace be upon him, will subrogate a man of his clan among them, and leaves Mecca for Medina. The unbounded remission. Again, the life-bestowing kindness breeze of that supreme guardian can be inhaled from this tradition, and another sign of his unbounded remission can be seen in it, and another curtain from his affection and kindness is screened before the eyes of the truth-seekers. And that's a quotation from Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, who says, all the treasures in the world, those which are in the middle of the earth or on its surface, will be accumulated with him. So he will call people to come toward what they desisted from truth, for and shed bloods unlawfully, and committed God's taboo. Then he shows mercy no one has ever shown. You see how Imam, peace be upon him, addresses the wrongdoers, and not only does he tolerate their faults, but also he does not deprive them of his abundant grant.
In this section, I want to introduce you a book is written about some aspects of the life of Imam Mahdi and Mahdiism. Book title is Al-Ghaiba, means occultation. The author is Sheikh Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ibrahim bin Jafar al-Katib, known as Ibn Abu Zainab al-Nu'mani. Verified by Faris Hassan Karim and translated by Abdullah Al Shaheen. Publisher is Ansarian Publication, Qom. First edition 2003 and number of pages 488. Number of pages 488. About this book, it is a valuable work. This book is a valuable work in this area of Mahdiism and Imam Mahdi, whose author has limited it to be expected Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his coming. The author begins the book with some prophetic traditions confirming the imamate of al-Mahdi. Then the mentions the traditions showing that Allah doesn't leave the world without a hujjah, means proof. After that, mentions traditions taking about this appearance of Imam al-Mahdi, his aspects, biography, role, charismata, and virtues, and he mentions the signs that precede the appearance of Imam al-Mahdi, besides other subjects concerning him. This is a very good work to research about Imam Mahdi, especially his occultation, Al-Ghaybah.